I'm very tempted to ask the question, how on earth do I follow that after such a performance? But before we focus on the hymn we sung earlier, let me just pray, shall we? Father God, we just thank and praise you this morning for this opportunity of being in your house and praising and worshipping you. We thank you for all the creation around us. We just thank you for the songs, that words, that song, how great thou art. And just help us to focus on that this morning and know we've met with you. We ask it, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, whilst the children are actually doing something creative, I thought we'd do something similar. Now, our understanding of the creation was actually transformed in 1995, some time ago, by the launch of the Hubble Space Telescope. It took 13 years to build, and about $1.5 billion to actually manufacture. But for the first time, it gave humanity the opportunity to observe the most distant parts of the galaxy and the universe. It advanced scientific understanding and knowledge in the cosmos in leaps and bounds. But ironically, it was when most of the staff were on holiday over the Christmas break that our understanding of the universe was changed in a way we didn't expect. The director of NASA at the time decided, as not much was happening over Christmas, well, it's Christmas, to leave the telescope pointing the tiny black patch of sky that was about the size of a grain when held at arm's length. No one was expecting to find very much, really. So when the team returned after Christmas, they were astonished to see that the apparent empty fragment of sky contained not one or two stars, but trillions of galaxies and billions of stars as well. That accidental discovery transformed our understanding of the scale and complexity of the universe we live in. Astronomers are now confident that the universe is far larger than we ever imagined. And that hymn we sung, How Great Thou Art, reflects just on that. It was written by Carl Boberg. Although he didn't have the benefit of a space telescope, he was able to look up at the night sky and find wonder in the work of an incredible creator. He was born in Sweden in 1859, initially becoming a sailor, and we can imagine on those long journeys overnight, he would see the night sky and wonder just how those stars came to be. He published more than 60 poems and hymns, of which How Great Thou Art is probably one of the favourites and most famous. He saw in the universe a beauty and power and wonder and recognised the fingerprints of a beautiful God behind it. A God who could create trillions of stars, as the Bible tells us, just by the power of his word. But Carl also saw a God who was interested in the detail of the forest glades, as the hymn puts it, the birds singing sweetly in the trees. A God who not only knows every star, but lovingly created every leaf, who's intimately involved in the beauty and detail of life and the joy of the bird song, which I'm sure we experience as well. Carl saw creation as an expression of something utterly central about who our God is. There's an interesting thing. When we turn to the Bible, it spends little time on talking about the how creation happened. In fact, it deals with creation in just the first 10 words. We see that in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then almost a throwaway line a little later, it says, he also created the stars. The Bible's emphasis is not so much on how exactly God created, but who and why. Who is our creator? Why did he make us? As the Bible unlocks those questions, you'll recall the Old Testament stories of Adam and Eve and Moses crossing the Red Sea, which we summed up by saying just two things. Firstly, they were written to help us understand how big and powerful our God is. And secondly, they assure us this great, big, powerful God actually loves us and longs to have a relationship with us. When we look around us and see the wonder of the night sky, we're prompted to ask, what kind of being could make all of this? Is there really a creator God behind it? If there is, he must be unimaginably powerful and therefore very, very different to us. And the Bible tells us this difference between God and us isn't just about scale and power, but also about goodness. I mean, we got a glimpse of that in that that difference earlier when Jesus healed that woman's daughter in the gospel reading from Matthew. God is different to us because he's wholly good, and sadly, we're not. It may not be popular to admit it, but if we're honest, I think we would all agree that at times our thoughts and actions don't always live up to the standards that we set for ourselves, let alone any standards that God might set for us. We fall short because of our human selfishness, be that as individuals or as a nation. And that's why the Bible tells us that God is different from us both in his goodness and holiness, which literally means set apart. Isaiah the prophet summed this up with the following words, where he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God, by definition, is holy, set apart, perfect, and therefore perfectly good. But just how is he set apart? Well, as the Bible tells us, it shows us the God we worship is infinitely beyond the furthest reaches of whatever the space telescope can find or its replacement. The truth is, the whole range of humanity, from the very worst to the very best, doesn't register on God's scale of goodness. The gap between us and him is so big, there's no way you or I could ever appear on God's scale of goodness. Now, if we stopped there, believing that was the end of the story, that would be really bad news. But as we know, there's good news, because it's not the end. God loves us so much, he wants to have a relationship with us, despite our near constant ability to mess things up. Those Old Testament characters we spoke about, Adam and Eve and Moses, were all about God reaching out to them and saying who he is and showing them how much he loved them, and always in the hope they would love him back and share his love with others. Although they didn't always listen to him, and time after time they lost the plot, God never gave up on them, and he will never give up on us. Despite their failings, God kept longing for a relationship and ended up demonstrating that perfectly through the life and death of the Lord Jesus. And coming back to that hymn we've just sung, we see the same link as the words move seamlessly from the wonders of creation and a creator God in verse 2 to the story of the Lord Jesus on the cross in verse 3. And that's the wonder of the story, God's love for us, for you and for me, as we remember every Easter, and remembering later in this service as we share communion together. It's the story of a God who made us to know him through the Lord Jesus. And if we truly know that, then we can't help but singing in response, "How great thou art." Let me close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a powerful God who created the entire universe and trillions of stars with just the power of your word. We also thank you that you love the beauty and detail of life. Most of all, we thank you that you love us and take joy in that your relationship with us through your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. As we reflect on the words of that hymn that Carl has so richly left us, please help each one of us to draw closer to you each day, to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.